Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Pastor Jeremy and Jen Foster are some of our favorite people on the planet. And when we were thinking, who should come and bring the word today? We look no further than Pastor Jeremy. We love he and Jen and their six kids. Four of them are with them on this trip, but they lead a dynamic church in Houston, Texas, Hope City Church. It is a powerful church. God is using them and working through them in a mighty, mighty way. Come on, would you put your hands together for Pastor Jeremy Foster?
Come on, let's give Jesus an ovation of worship right now. Come on, somebody. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph.
Wow, it feels good. You could be seated. If it's your first time to hear me preach, well, God bless you. Real preachers will be back next week. But I got to, like, this is my first time to wear a blazer at James River. But many of you don't know the story. Like, the first time that I came, I was so nervous. And that, because you get, I don't care who you are, you get nervous preaching at James River because it's James River. This is a big deal. Pastor John Lindell, he verse by verse through the entire New Testament, hello, that's a big deal, okay? And so I wore a blazer the first time. I had a blazer on, and I remember walking in to the green room, and Pastor John had on a pair of khaki pants and a Hawaiian shirt. And I was like, oh, thank you, God. I had on a pair of cowboy boots and Wranglers and a blazer. And I said, hey, man, you okay if I take my jacket off? And he was like, yes, that would be great. I was hoping you would. And and then today, the day I decide to wear a blazer, I spill coffee all over my pants, y'all. So my shirt tail's untucked. And she cousin from Texas. We're going to do our best today, okay? I didn't have time to wash my jeans right before service. So I want to tell you this. I've been thinking about, what do I title this weekend? What do I preach this weekend? And I thought, how do you get 30 years of incredible ministry? What can we learn from 30 years? And what I came up with is very simple. If you're taking notes, write this down. But this is the title of today, and that's simply this: the power is in the pattern. The power is in the pattern. This church didn't happen off of just some moment. This church happened because there's a pattern here. There's a pattern of prayer that started in 1998 and has not stopped. It's every week. There's a powerful prayer meeting. And if you haven't gotten in on that, get in on the pattern. Can I tell you, when I entered the pattern, it was 20 years ago, I came to this church. 20 years ago, I came, I was on a building committee that I probably never should have been on at the age of 24, but we were building a building. My father was a pastor, and he allowed me to sit in on a building committee, and we flew here to visit James River. And I remember walking in. We didn't schedule the visit. We just came. We just walked in. We just, like, just became, you know, church is open. We'll just go in and see. We never dreamed we would get a meeting with anybody here, and you know what? We didn't. We didn't even ask for one. There was a janitor who opened the door for us and was the kindest human we'd ever met. He showed us the whole church. We were like, we thought he was an executive pastor. And at the end of it, we were like, what do you do here? He goes, oh, I'm the janitor. I was like, dear God, if the janitor is this good, I could never get a job here. I'm still trying. I wore a blazer today. I'm doing my best. But I remember that weekend, Pastor John, you preached, and then he gave a baptism appeal, and it was the best baptism appeal and the best teaching in 3 minutes on baptism that I had ever heard. And today, as a pastor in Houston, Texas, I still use what I learned from you teaching baptism. So thank you for the effect that you've had, not just here, but all the way in Houston. It's a pattern. It's a pattern. It's a pattern of life change. We've seen, you guys realize how monumental it is to see almost 68,000 people give their lives to Jesus in 30 years. That is a pattern. We've personally planted as a church over 100 churches out of this church. That's a pattern, and the power is in the pattern. You guys can't help but do it right. Drop zone. What is drop zone? Oh, we put a lift up there and we drop watermelons. And over 100 kids get saved. I mean, I'm just saying, man. You know, James River, we do it right. 171 kids to be exact. You drop watermelons and people give their lives to Jesus. That's what you're a part of. That is the power of a pattern. That's what you're a part of. But there's also other patterns. Romans warns us, 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, when you get the right pattern, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You have a pattern. As much as the church has a pattern and our pastors have a pattern, you have a pattern. Turn to your neighbor and say, I have a pattern. You have a pattern. I have a pattern. I can't eat one cookie. Who can do that? Who can eat one cookie? Raise your hand. I want to see who I don't like in this church. This is my family, because none of y'all raised your hand. That's, y'all my play cousins. What kind of psycho eats one cookie? You know what I mean? I'm just going to have one. I'm like, oh, you might be an axe murderer too. I don't know what your problem is. I don't eat one. Who eats one Oreo? No, no, no. Where two or three are gathered together. Why do you think they put them in rows? That's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're one. You should eat them all. Anybody ever blacked out and ate all the Oreos? My wife's like, who ate the Oreos? I'm like, I think it was the kids. You know, I don't know. We all have patterns. The product isn't the problem. The cookie isn't the problem. It's your pattern that's the problem. And the challenge is, the promises of God aren't the problem. We don't have a promise problem. We have a pattern problem. If you want to bring the promises of God into your life, you have to get into the pattern that God has called us to. Why do you think this every weekend we talk about giving? Why do you think we talk about tithing? Why? It's a pattern. And if you get in the pattern of tithing, you will be in the pattern of blessing. That's where you should clap your hands right there, because that's good preaching. It's in the Word. Why do you think people get tight when we talk about giving?
I don't know about that.
Because you have a pattern of stinginess. Giving is never about your money. God doesn't need your money. He made you. He needs your heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, I have a heart for people. You want to know where your heart is? Follow the money trail. Bro, this thing is hot on anniversary weekend. You and I both have a pattern. What are we talking about? Well, how do I shift the pattern? Well, the Bible is clear. If you want to change the pattern, you got to change your mind. You have to renew your mind, because the enemy gets in your head. How many of y'all remember when you were kids? Anybody ever scared of the dark? Just raise your hand if you're scared of the dark. Anybody scared of the dark? So when I was a kid, I was scared of the dark. And anybody ever remember, like, when you would get in bed and your mom would turn out the light? And part of it was how they prayed over us at night. You remember those prayers? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord your soul to keep. And if you die before you wake, I pray the Lord your soul to take. Good night. Love you. Sweet dreams, baby doll. I mean, no wonder we were scared. And you would have the covers up to your neck, right? You'd have the covers up to your neck. And then sometimes you would put your covers over your head. Like if you saw a shadow in your room, anybody ever see a shadow in your room? You saw a shadow. One time I saw a shadow. It was my mom. She was in there praying over me. Anybody have a praying mom? My mom had a pattern of prayer. She would come in and pray, and she would literally, oftentimes, she would pray me to sleep. She would pray. It was all sweet prayers. And then I would wake up and she would be saying, Lord, if he's ever going to walk away from you, take him now. I'm like, I'm seven, lady. But you know, you get scared of a monster, and for whatever reason, we thought like there are monsters under the bed, right? But if we put the covers over our heads, somehow it was an invisible force field. And if the monster came over and you were like, he was like, aah. And as ridiculous as we all know that is, the truth is the monsters were never under your bed. They are, as an adult, in your head. and it becomes learned landmines of inaccurate assumptions and fearful imaginations and doubt and depression and fear and anxiety, and we worry about things that will never happen. And I can tell you this, you cannot have a positive life with a negative mind. Even if you're a Christian, if you want to have a strong marriage, if you want to have a strong career, if you want to be blessed in your life, if you want to make an impact on your community, an impact on your family, an impact in your church, you have to constantly war against what the enemy brings into your mind. The good news is you don't have to live that way. Aren't you grateful that we have a church that takes us through the Bible, that teaches us how to rightly divide the word of truth? I'm grateful that we have pastors who can stand in this pulpit, hold their shoulders back, and preach the word of God without fear or favor and teach us how to walk through things. Grateful for that. 30 years, man. Philippians 4 and 8 says, and now, brothers, as I close this letter, let me say this one thing to you. Fix your thoughts. Everybody say, fix your thoughts. The challenge with most of us is we haven't fixed our thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and dwell on the fine good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about it. That's what we've done this weekend. We've celebrated what the Lord has done and the many styles of John and Debbie Lindell. Those were some great styles. The mustache was probably my favorite. How do I fix my thoughts? The writer goes on, and we often don't read this verse, but in verse 9 he says, keep putting into practice all you learned from me. Practice is the pattern. All you learned from me, all you saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. Have you ever noticed that practice and peace go hand in hand? You can't just pray for peace, but you can practice peace into your life if you follow what God has called us to do. So how do I put it into practice? Well, I did a word search there on learned. How do I learn it? He said, you got to learn the things that I've taught you. And the Greek word for learn there is to be a disciple. And it means discipline. And now I know why it's hard. Because none of us like discipline. Does anybody know what a switch is? Raise your hand if you know what a switch is. Some of y'all think it's a light switch. Some of the young generation are like, I know, I know. That ain't a switch. We know what a switch is. Yeah, I mean, your mama ever tell you, hey, go pick a switch. Did your mama ever tell you that? Some of you young kids, y'all don't know what that means, but that means go pick a stick that I'm going to hit you with. Did anybody ever go out and just get a little bitty old twig and bring it back? My mama be like, I'll jab that in your eye. Go get me something bigger, you know? How many of y'all, your mama hit you with whatever was available? You know, a brush, a ping pong paddle, it didn't matter. These kids nowadays who yell at their parents. You ever seen these kids yell at their parents? Ah! I'm like, oh. I heard about y'all. Do y'all know, like in the 80s, we never saw kids like that. In the 70s, you didn't see kids yell at their parents. You know why? Because anybody could spank you back then. Neighbors had permission to spank me. Somebody in Walmart, I don't even know who you are. My mom's like, yeah, I'll get him too. And I'm like, what are you doing? I saw a t-shirt the other day that said I was spanked as a child and now I suffer from a disease called respect. Calm down. I'm not saying spank your kids. But some of y'all need to spank your kids. Okay, just take them to therapy. It's fine. Hebrews 12 and 11, I'm actually a big fan of that. Both spanking and therapy. One will inevitably lead to the other. Okay, guys, come on. Hebrews 12 and 11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, for those who have been trained by it, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. This doesn't come natural. We have to learn it. Notice the writer says, practice what you have learned. If you look at the root word for learned, it's mathetes, and it's the Greek word for math. Now we know it gets hard, because math is not easy, is it? Let's take a test. 2 plus 2 is?
4.
3 plus 3 is?
6.
Well done. 10 minus 7 is?
3.
20 minus 2 is?
18.
You guys are so good. 4 times 4 is?
16.
Well done. 32 times 68 is? Yeah, calculator. I want you to watch the progression of math. We start with simple math. We start with addition, then we get to subtraction, then we get to multiplication. We learn in division and algebra and geometry, all of these advanced forms of math, but it starts with addition and subtraction. The challenge with so many people is we want to jump to multiplication and we want God to multiply blessings in our lives, but we've never learned simple addition and simple subtraction. If I want to get to multiplication, I've got to add the word of God. I've got to subtract the patterns of the world. I've got to learn and practice the patterns of God. That's what we've done for 30 years. Did you guys see some of the pictures? Y'all had choir robes. Some of y'all came in here in big old suits. Weird carpet. I applaud you because I know it wasn't easy to change. And I know not everybody liked it. Pastor, why don't we still have choir risers? Oh, they're back there. They just behind the LED wall. We didn't get rid of them. They back there. You can go stand and sway if you want to. I love that we learned the pattern of progression to be relevant with society, but we never moved off of the word of God. So we can shift some of the patterns of how we do things, but we never got away from the word of God. The power is in the pattern. It's in the pattern. So there's three steps to shifting the power of the pattern. Number one is you have to recognize the pattern. You have to recognize your pattern. You have a pattern. You have to be honest about it and recognize it. Listen, I love my family. I love my family. I'm from Louisiana. I live in Texas. I'm a Southern pastor. I'm gonna protect my family. How many of y'all, you love your family? Like you do anything for you? I love my family. And if you come into my house uninvited, you gonna meet the Holy Spirit. And his play cousin, Smith and Wesson, because we ready. I'm just telling you right now. I'll pop a cap and pray later. I'm going to pop, 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 and then I'm going to be like, all right, now you're going to meet the Lord right now, okay? So we go. You think I'm playing? I wish I was playing. Hey, the real pastor will be back next week, so then y'all can be good with that. So a couple years ago, I'm in bed. I'm laying there. It's the middle of the night. I'm asleep, dead asleep, and I hear glass break in my room. Now, we got three windows in my room and two doors. I hear glass break in my room. Now, I want to tell you, I'd like to tell you that I like stealthily slid out of bed and had like two hands. And I was like this, and night vision goes, shoom, shoom, shoom. That's not what happened, though. I just screamed. I was like, ah! Like I was going, it was fixing to be hand to hand, okay? Like, it was going to be on. And I went, ah, and I heard a voice say, stop. And I recognized that voice. This is my wife. What? She said, calm down. It's your son. And at that point, I realized my 2-year-old son, Gunner, had come in the room and had and desired to come and climb in the bed with us. For whatever reason, he had knocked over a glass and broke it, which woke me up. And do you ever have a moment where like you had a lot of adrenaline and then all of a sudden you realize the threat is gone and you're so, I was like, whew, whew. So I was getting ready to fall back into bed. She said, stop. I was like, what? She said, hey, he has a dirty diaper. And since you already up, I ain't gonna look at her right now because she's sitting right over there, but I don't think Gunner knocked the glass off. I think he came in with the dirty diaper. She was like, shaboom, psh. Oh, can you change that? I know you, girl. I know. Now, here's what's crazy. I recognized the threat wrongly. I thought it was coming from the outside. The threat was inside. I did not need a weapon. I needed a wipey. The challenge with many of us is we don't actually recognize the pattern as our problem. We think it's everybody else. So we'll blame somebody else's problem and say, well, no, the problem is them, when really it's your lack of prayer. Oh, no, God hasn't kept his promise. No, 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 you just haven't been giving faithfully. No, 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 nobody's there for me. But if you would get in a group, all of a sudden you'd realize there are plenty of people who want to be there for you. They just can't because you're not giving them the opportunity. You have to recognize the pattern. Well, how do I recognize the pattern? Here, I'll help you with it. When you renew your mind, it'll renew your mouth. So how do you speak? How are you talking to people? If you're not speaking in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, then the fruit of the Spirit is probably not in you, and you really haven't renewed your mind. You've just renewed your behavior. We're good at behavior modification, but Jesus was clear, Matthew 15:15. Then Peter said to Jesus, explain to us the parable that says people aren't defiled by what they eat. Don't you understand yet? Jesus asked. Anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer, but the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. Your mouth is a stethoscope to your heart. Are you speaking life or death on a daily basis? Matthew 12:34, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Words reveal thoughts. How do you speak to your friends? How do you speak to your family? Do you speak to your friends different than you speak to your family? Do you encourage some people and discourage others? The power of words can't be overstated. I want to show you the power of words. I don't think I've ever done this here, but it's so fun. If you don't mind, close your eyes for just a moment, okay? Close your eyes. If you're driving, keep them open. Close your eyes for just a moment. Now, some of y'all might be a little nervous. If you brought a purse, just hold on to your purse, because this is church. You don't know who you're sitting next to, okay? Close your eyes. I'm going to say a series of words, and you're going to see something whenever I say these things, okay? Keep your eyes closed. Here we go. Dog. Big dog. Mean dog. Okay, open your eyes. All right, look at me. How many of you saw a dog? Raise your hand. You saw a dog. Look, that's awesome. That's weird. How many of you saw the same dog, just three different ways? How many of you saw different dogs, three different dogs? Anybody see the words dog? Anybody see the smart people's? Anybody see Snoop Dogg? That's something totally different. That's a different. One word from me created a picture in your mind. That's how powerful words are. And this is what Jesus is trying to tell us. Listen, if you're not careful and you don't get control of your tongue, it's showing us where your mind is. You ever had one of those moments where you're just like, I didn't mean to say that. I'm so sorry. I don't know where that came from. Jesus would say, I do. It came from your heart. You just didn't mean for it to come out of your mouth. Words have power. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. And if words have power, who are you listening to? Who are you surrounding yourself with? This is critically important for you and me to get. Do you, I don't know if you really understand this, but this church started with four couples. They had an interim pastor who's a retired pastor. He said, hey, I'm gonna help out until you guys get a pastor. And several months in, you know, there was about 80 people and they wanted a pastor. And so one of the men in the church knew Pastor John Lindell, a respected man, John and Debbie Lindell, and he sat down with him. And some of you know this story. He sat down with him in Steak and Shake. A little anointing there. And as they were eating skinny fries, he looked at Pastor John and he said, we believe that you're supposed to be the pastor of James River. And Pastor John, he didn't know. Pastor John was tired. They had planted a church. Planting a church is hard. They had built it. They had dug it out of the dirt, reached people, got it to a place where it was viable, where it was stable, and then decided, we're done. Even entertained thoughts of leaving the ministry, going into law school. I think you'd be an amazing lawyer, but man, you're a better preacher. Aren't you grateful he didn't go into that field? Although you could be a senator. If you want to run, I'll vote for you. I'm just saying right now. But he sat there and this man said, we think you're the next pastor. We think you are the first full pastor, James River, over 30 years ago. And you know what Pastor John said to him? No. I'm tired. I'm actually thinking about not doing this anymore. Now, usually when you say those kind of things to people, they say, oh man, are you okay? Sure. Oh, let me pray for you. That guy was like, no, you might be tired, but you're the next pastor. You're the guy. You're the one that's going to take this. We started, we've done everything that we can, small group of people, but we actually need a leader, and you're him. Pastor John said, I thought he was going to call for the check and we were done, but he was persistent. And he looked at him and said, you're the pastor. And he said something shifted in his heart in that moment. And even though he was exhausted and even though he was tired, he knew this is what he was supposed to do. And 30 years later and 67,000 salvations and millions upon millions of lives changed, this is a church that grew because of a word that was spoken in the right moment. Words have power. Make sure you're around the right people who are listening to God and speaking life into you. That's why you need to get in a group. We're launching groups. You got to get in a group. Why? Because I want to get around some people who can encourage me, not just sinful sympathizers who want to go sin with me. I'm grateful that we have a church that understands the power of words. You can't be around Pastor John and Debbie Lindell and not be encouraged. They're going to encourage you. I've talked to them before when they were going through pain and they asked how I was doing. Aren't you grateful for that? That's a pattern. And the power is in the pattern. Get in on the pattern. When they get up here and they talk about Grow Track, that's not just something cool we want you to go through. We actually want you to grow through it. That's why we call it Grow Track. It's a pattern. We want you to grow. We want you to get on the team. We want you to volunteer. We want you to serve. Why? That's so we can look good so that you can feel good and do what God has called you to do. It's a pattern. It's a proven fact. People are happier when they're a part of something that's bigger than them. The world has a pattern, and that pattern is you deserve this. That's the pattern of the world. Why do you think all the commercials are about what you deserve? You deserve this. Well, you might, but you can't afford it. But they'll give you credit for it. And you'll buy it. And it won't make you feel better. Over time, it'll make you feel worse. You know why? Because of planned obsolescence. What does that mean? That means you got the new iPhone, and a year later, a newer one came out. Things will never make you happy. Stuff will never fill the void. The only thing that will fill the void is Jesus Christ and Him crucified and serving the purpose that God has called you to. Get in a group. Go through the Grow Track. Get into pattern. First thing you got to do is you got to recognize the pattern. The second thing you got to do is reject the pattern. Say, come on, I'm going to stop thinking this way. You know, they say if you get on a pattern of thought for 17 seconds, it sets the rest of your day. I tried this week while I was studying for this sermon. I tried it this week. And I was watching a video about this, and the lady said, think about something fun, funny, exciting, engaging, and try it for 17 seconds and see what happens. And you know what I thought about? I thought about my family trip a few years ago to Branson, Missouri. Come on, Branson. And you know what I started doing? I started smiling. I started laughing. And I went, this actually works, but it's been in the Word of God all along. Popular psychology is only following Scripture. Fix your thoughts, and it will fix your life. If you'll fix your thoughts. But the first thing you gotta do is you gotta recognize it, then you gotta reject what you've been doing. Because if what you've been doing is not working, continuing to do that is the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing and expecting different results. You've gotta reject it. And the third thing is you've gotta replace the pattern. You gotta replace the pattern. That's what I love about this church. Aren't you grateful that you're a part of a life-giving church? Where you come in here and you feel good. Now, you're going to hear strong word teaching. You ever been a part of a death-giving church? Oh, if you haven't, God bless you. I have been to those.
You're going to go to hell. You're going to bust hell wide open. You're a sinner, and God loves you, but me don't like you very much. You're dismissed.
I said, can we leave now, or am I going straight to hell? I don't know what... Aren't you grateful that when we get in here, we don't just cover over sins? We don't just make you feel good about yourself. We tell you, hey, you're a sinner. The gospel is you're a sinner and you cannot save yourself. But aren't you grateful that the Father sent His one and only Son to die on a cross, but He didn't stay there. He went to a tomb, but He didn't stay there. He arose alive and victorious on the third day so that you can have eternal life. This is a church that teaches us to replace the pattern. How do I do that? You got to follow what's in the Word. This is not easy to do because sometimes you don't feel like it. I love Joel chapter 3, verse 10. I believe that it's an enduring prophecy for then and for now. And it says this, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears and the let the weak say, I am strong. Now, if you just read that face value, it's like, let the weak say I'm strong. But if you study it, they don't have swords. They don't have spears. They've been defeated by everybody. They don't have weapons. And the Lord says, beat your plowshares into swords. What's He saying? You don't need anything new. Just use what you already have. Use what's in, well, no, when I get this, then I'll do that. No. Just use what's in your hand right now. No. When I get my marriage figured out. No. Do what you got with the marriage you have right now. When these crazy kids get it. No. Right now. Shift the pattern. Replace the pattern now. Start family night now. Start daily devotions now. Start coming to prayer meeting now. Replace the pattern. And then notice, but I'm too weak. I love this. Let the weak say. Everybody say, say. This does not say, let the weak become strong. It doesn't say that.
Let the weak become strong.
Now I'm strong. No. It says, let the weak say, I am strong, but I am weak.
I am strong,
but I am weak. I understand. But that's not honest. No. You don't understand the Word of God. When I am weak, then I am strong, because it's in my weakness that His strength is made perfect. So it's not you saying, I am strong. It's you saying, the I am in me is strong. And if God is for me, who can be against me? I am strong. Even though I'm tired, I'm strong. Even though I'm weak, I'm strong. Even though I've made a mistake, I'm strong. Even though I've messed up, I'm strong. And I'm going to make it. And I'm an overcomer. And greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world. Stand with me all across this room. A few months ago, I was on a flight. And you know when you get on those flights, you can stay standing. You get on those flights and you sit down and you just hope. The smallest, teeniest person sits next to you. Somebody who doesn't talk very much. Anytime, God bless you, I have kids. I have a lot of kids. I have them in their 20s, and I have a 4-year-old. What were we thinking? Trying to build a church. That's what we're doing, trying to grow that church. But you know, when you're a parent and you're getting on a plane and you have your kid, you see them. People put their heads down. They don't want to look at you in the eye. And I remember this lady, she came walking down the aisle. She had a little girl, cute little girl. She was, these are our seats. I was like, okay, thank you. She sat in the window seat. No. She'd give the child the window seat. No, mom took the window seat. Kids in the middle. Sweetest little kid. Also the most insane person. I'm telling you, she took me on an emotional roller coaster. I mean, there was one moment she loved me, the next moment she hated me. She slapped me in the face. Literally, whapam. And her mom was like, don't do that. I was like, please. And right after her mom said, don't do that, she grabbed me with both hands and kissed me right on the mouth. I was like, we don't do that either. Somewhere in the middle. And when I had a moment, just a break, I reached down into my backpack. And I got out my noise-canceling headphones. See, there's a little button on the back right here. And when I press it, I can see you, but I can't hear you. I see some of you going, oh, this is blessing. And you know what I did? I didn't turn on music. I turned on Ocean's Relaxing Surf, because that's what I sleep to at night. Ocean's Relaxing Surf. And I closed my eyes. And you know what? In that moment, while the little Tasmanian devil was going crazy right here in the middle seat, I had my head back. I almost gave the headphones to her mom, but I was like, I need them more. And I was there. I closed my eyes and I could see the palm tree. I could see the beach. I could see the water. I was relaxed. I actually went to sleep for a little bit. And if we can do this practically, we ought to also be able to do it spiritually. You might think I look like an idiot. But if I won't let anything get in without it first going through the Word, it'll renew my mind. And if it doesn't line up with the Word, it doesn't get into my pattern. The power is in the pattern. And if I will let peace prevail, and if I will let love prevail, and if I let patience prevail, then God will change everything. But it's got to start with you recognizing, rejecting, and replacing.